We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Full joke, the Broncos did make an additional signing. Yep. Break it down for everybody, who it is, what it is, and what you think.
Hold on to your butts, everyone. The Broncos signed Calvin Throckmorton, 2020 undrafted free agent. Of course, he has former Saints ties. He made a handful of starts in New Orleans under Sean Payton in 2020 and 2021. Overall, he has 46 career appearances, 27 career starts. He played for Carolina and Tennessee last season. He's a backup type, Chad. Obviously, the Broncos are not in the market for a starter. They have Ben Powers and Quinn Meinerz. But I do think that Throckmorton, if he makes the week one roster, will overtake Quinn Bailey for those primary swing duties, similar to the Matt Pert signing, the offensive tackle last week.
It's one of those things that you got to have competent backup depth. And the Broncos last year, Zach, were, remarkably fortunate for the starting five to stay healthy as long as they did. Yeah. I think it wasn't until, what was it, the final game that McGlinchey sat out, thus snapping the streak of the entire starting five starting every single game, which was impressive. But it's obviously not the norm. Usually you're going to have, you know, knocking on wood here, you're going to have the one or two guys that are going to get hurt, going to miss time. You need competent guys to fill in there. So solid. He knows how the sausage gets made relative to Sean Payton. Are we writing home about this signing? No, but it's a nice little piece of the puzzle.
And it also checks off another box for the Broncos heading into the draft, Chad, similar again to the offensive tackle signing last week. They're not going to have to pigeonhole themselves into any one position. I don't think guard was a major priority anyway, but like you said, there's no such thing as too many good offensive linemen, or at least competent offensive linemen.
No doubt about it. A couple of quick hellos. We've got the Papa Bear, who we got to hang out with last fall and have a lot of fun. Key member of our community, David McElrath. Good to see you, big dog. Thank you for jumping in early before we even went live with a super. He's saying, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, Dylan, and Deacon Scott. well, Scott, he's out. He's on vacation. He's spending some time with his family. But he'll be back next week. So anyway, hashtag says David, JJ McCarthy, and Joe Milton. MHH for life, Broncos for life. Zach, what are your thoughts on Joe Milton, the Tennessee quarterback?
It's a layered conversation, Chad, and I probably sound like a broken record, but I prefer the Broncos not settle and wait until like the third round or whatever for Milton. But if they went in that direction, I like him more than a few others, you know, namely Michael Pratt, not more than Spencer Rattler, but more than, you know, Jordan Travis or some of these other tier three and tier four quarterbacks. Again, not my plan A, but I guess I wouldn't, you know, kill myself if they ended up with Joe Milton in the draft.
You know that scene in Tommy Boy where how's it go, where he's like, you know, I went to, what is it, a
butcher?
I went to school for 7 years or whatever, and he's like, yeah, they're called doctors or whatever, right? This cat, Joe Milton, all right, check this out. 6 years spent in the collegiate ranks, because of different transfers and because of, I think, injuries and stuff like that, where time doesn't accrue or whatever. This dude, how old is this cat? Let me see. Hold on. I got to check this out. Bear with me. Sorry, guys. I just want to see this.
He just turned 24.
24-year-old rookie quarterback. So if you're Joe Milton, or you're a team considering drafting Joe Milton, like, you don't have that traditional, you know, if you're a mid-round pick guy, 2-3-4 year window to kind of, you got to like hit the ground running with that dude, because he's already 24. But there's a lot to like about him. I mean, there are a lot of tools, but I'm with you. Like, if all the events conspire, Zach, to see the Broncos miss out on one of the first round, one of the bona fide first round guys, my first guy after that, you know, if you're in round three, maybe even worth trying to trade up into round two, is Spencer Rattler. And then for me, Spencer Rattler, then everybody else. From there, it's kind of sixes to me.
It's a great point about the age. And in David's comment, he kind of goes on the antithesis of what Joe Milton is, and that's J.J. McCarthy, who's just turned 21 years old. So you would gain, if you ended up with J.J., the extra 3 years of developmental time, and not just as a player, but also as a human being, Chad, as a man. I mean, 21 is a baby. It's very, very young, especially for being a professional football player. So that's my preference. I would love J.J. I would like Joe Milton much less.
I actually remembered the quote. Lots of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. So if Joe Milton ends up in Denver, he's going to be henceforth forever known as Tommy Boy Milton. All right, that's the word. David, love you, big dog. Let's see what Sam Bam's got to say. Jumping in also very early with a super chat. Very generous. Thank you, Sam. Did you get your jersey yet? Oh, he did. Okay, I received my Pookie jersey from the raffle. Dope. Hey, feel free to send us in a little selfie on that. We'll flex you on Instagram. Sam says, evening, Chad and Zach. Happy April Fools and happy April 1st. Less than a month until the draft. Go Broncos. Zach, you know, today I didn't. I've been really busy catching up on work from having been gone on vacation last week. So I didn't spend much time on Twitter today, to be frank with you. Were there any bombastic April Fools gotcha moments?
Yeah, there was a bunch like usual. I saw the fake Adam Schefter, and we warned about this. It was either last night or last week.
It was last night.
Yeah, the fake Adam Schefter saying that the Vikings traded J.J. Jefferson to the Steelers for Russell Wilson. Also, not just sports accounts. There was like political accounts I saw. This is not a hot take, Chad, my opinion. It's got to be the lamest holiday, April Fool's Day, of any holiday in the year.
As I mentioned last night, I'm not a prank guy. Like,
same.
Even back in the day, and I'll probably date myself here. I don't know, Zach, you might be old enough to remember Punk'd. Do you remember that with Ashton Kutcher on MTV?
Yeah.
Like, or some of the pranks and stuff like the Jackass guys would do and stuff like that. Like, when it's done at a high level and like for entertainment purposes and you know what it is, like that's a different thing. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I walk in from, you know, being at the office and the wife throws like a prank on me, like, oh, I got to tell you, you know, our boy got suspended today at school or whatever. Not to say that she would do that, but that kind of thing. And then, haha, got you. Oh, dude, I just hate that kind of stuff, dude.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm with you on that.
All right. Well, maybe that makes us kind of old and boring, but
yeah, we come off like crotchety old men now.
Yeah, we're definitely not trying to. Let's see what's on everybody's mind here and do some hellos. We got the early birds, DTR in the house. Let's grab him. DTR, who has been increasingly active in the community of late, throwing down supers on different shows. Really appreciate you. Says the drama regarding our QB situation. I'm not sure what it doesn't show here, Zach. That shows for me anyway, the first comment in the thread or in the chat. Is that the first one for you? So I'm not sure what we're talking about with David, but I thought it was interesting today. Keith Cummings had an article, you know, and again, it's going back to week old news of Sean Payton being at the NFL owners meetings and being asked, you know, what are you hoping to improve? You know, what things need to improve offensively for the Broncos in 2024? And first thing he's like, well, we can't take so many sacks, you know, which is kind of a shot at Russ, not an intentional shot, but there's no way around it. If you're going to say that, the implication when the quarterback took 45 sacks, dude, 45 sacks. Can you imagine how much business Tums did? just Sean Payton going, oh man, heartburn, apoplectic, up at night. These sacks are killing me, chewing Tums, antacids. I mean, but it was a little bit of a shot, you know, not necessarily because he's trying to, but yeah, we don't want to take 45 sacks in 2024. How's that for an answer?
Well, I know that I single-handedly boosted the Tums stock, Chad, watching Russell Wilson the past couple seasons, so I think you're dead-on accurate with that. It was definitely a pointed shot at Russ for the negative plays he caused, but Jarrett Stidham also took sacks in his two starts, and he wasn't really taking a shot at Stidham so much because those sacks were limited yardage, Chad. It didn't crater the offense like when Russell Wilson took a sack or ran around or committed a turnover or whatever. He wants more consistent, safe, cerebral, turnover marginalizing play from his quarterback. I don't think that's a big ask.
That's just a theme of Russell Wilson. You know, like for the longest time, pardon me, from the outside looking in, you're like, well, all those sacks he's taken in Seattle, like, is it Russ? Is it the constant patchwork O-line? I mean, the Seahawks were infamous for having that patchwork O-line. They'd have like one really good guy, like they'd invest in a tackle. You know, for a time they had Russell Okung, who was playing at that time at an all-pro level, you know, one good guy here and there, and then it would just be kind of patchwork. So you're like, are all the sacks on Russ? It's got to be the O-line because it's a competent play caller. We're talking about a perennial Pro Bowler. No, the Seahawks knew the truth, Zach, the whole time. Yep. Like, remember when this was pre-Broncos. I think this was either the 2021 or might have been 2020, but he made big waves by actually verbalizing at his locker after a game that he just is sick of getting sacked so much. And it's like so ironic now. Hindsight's 2020. You look back on it, it's like, yeah, I don't blame you, Russ, but if you don't want to get sacked so much, don't get sacked so much. It's your fault, most of them anyway.
I hate to admit it, but we're coming around on why the Seahawks made that trade, why the Seahawks fans were happy that Russell Wilson was gone. I'm not going to say they're right, because Russell Wilson did show flashes, and last season he wasn't as bad as a lot of people talk about him. His numbers were pretty solid, but it was never consistent, Chad. You never knew if you were getting all four quarters of clean quarterback play, and very rarely did you. I mean, how often did we talk about the Broncos being good in the first half or being good in the second half and rarely playing a complete game? It's a team effort. I mean, the offensive line at times was atrocious, but if you look at the data and the PFF rankings and so on and so forth, the advanced metrics, they were at worst a top 16 OL in the NFL. And that's a big improvement from where they were in years past. So if you did a little pie chart on the blame for the sack total last year, I would say, Chad, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd say it's about 65-35 Russell Wilson.
No, I would agree. And I love the pie chart visualization. I love using it because it's a great way to hammer home the point. Yeah. And it's true. I'm trying to think back, Zach, was it TD? Was it Terrell Davis? I think it was about this time last year, you know, trying to kind of reveal his outlook for the Broncos and Russ with Sean Payton. And he's like, I think it's going to be, you're going to see vintage Russ. And hey, you know, if Sean Payton can't fix this cat, Nobody can, right? Like if it can't be done with Sean Payton, it can't be done. So jury's out, you know, to see if whether or not he really has some gas left in the tank in Pittsburgh. I happen to believe that the sun is setting on Russell Wilson's career. And I wouldn't be surprised, Zach, if he doesn't survive like the summer, like August, Justin Fields beats him out, you know, because you're going, if they're about the same relative to passing acumen, you know, because a lot of the similar limitations, although Russ probably has a stronger arm and has that deep ball accuracy. But still, if it's sixes as a quarterback, we're going to maybe err on the upside and the youth and the pop and the explosion. That's how I would be looking at it if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. But then again, you know, they're a plausible, viable playoff contender, and Russ probably gives you a little bit better stability angling toward that. Then we'll grab Sam.
Yeah, I mean, the tie, I 100% agree. The tie in that scenario would go to Fields if I'm Mike Tomlin. I mean, that's a Steelers problem now. But, you know, you make a good point that so many Broncos fans are excited about the matchup, Russ coming back to Denver in 24. He might not survive training camp. It could be where he gets cut. He was signed to a minimum type deal. If he does make the roster, and even in preseason, we'll know whether the Broncos were correct to move on or maybe Sean Payton did err in his judgment.
Hey, I got to give Jeremy Sean some props. Throcktober. We will throck you.
Throck Lobster's got to be on there too.
Yeah, Throck Lobster. This is good. I love it. Okay. Sam Bam. He says, and thank you, bro, for another super. He says, I saw something on Facebook today that said George Payton was fired. Then I remembered it was April Fool's Day. I got it on that one. Yeah, like if you lose sight of the day, you know, and you're just kind of absentmindedly thumbing through your feet or whatever, it can get you. It's happened to me more than once.
And a lot of Broncos country would prefer that wasn't an April Fool's joke, Chad. And soon enough, it could be the case where that headline is real, Sam.
It's true. I mean, as is often the case, Broncos did it with John Elway and Brian Zanders after the draft. If there's going to be a GM change, it's often after the draft when all that work is turned in, and then they can turn the page and bring in a new guy to oversee staff and get the scouting process going all over again. We shall see. Thank you again, Sam. You the man. Taylor Christensen, another consistent, just awesome member of our community jumping in. Thank you, bro. He says, hey guys, adding to what you said about the uniforms, we talked about that last night. Do you think we switch back to blue as our primary? I prefer the orange, but what's the opinion? Go Broncos. Dude, honestly, Zach, and I might ruffle some feathers here, but I'm a fan of the old, you know, orange-sicle. It's not quite the old Tampa Bay Bucks orange-sicle, but like, you know what I'm talking about. The old Bronco orange, the classic Bronco orange. That setup is like my childhood. I still love that. But with the new helmet, circa 97 on, I still think it looks sharper. Blue tops. My favorite is blue tops, blue pants. But I think that they'd be better off going back to blues. And if I remember right, that switching to orange as the primary began the year, it was either the year Peyton got here, Peyton Manning, that is, or the year after.
And then they have the Color Rush stuff, and they have the FedEx uniforms. Chad, remember the throwback uniforms?
Those vertical stripes.
Yeah, it was an eyesore for sure. I don't know, Taylor, what they're going to do. I'm not the best person to ask either because I care about uniforms a lot less than the average bear. I just want a winning, successful product on the field. I don't care what they wear, but it's not going to be, from what I understand, any drastic changes. And with that, I don't think they're going to change colors as their primary, but I really could be wrong.
We shall see. We've got the Duchess jumping in, Michaela Parker. You know, you talk about the MHH Mount Rushmore. One of the first faces that's etched on that right here. Love you, Michaela. She says, happy Fool's Day. We really got fooled by the Seahawks. LOL. We must draft a quarterback in the first round. No excuses. Much love. Hey, you and I are reading from the same book. That's for sure on that front. Like, I'm almost just like, I'm this close, Michaela, to like being in the camp of drafting a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback in the first round. Like, I'm this close. I'm not throwing out all rationality and pragmatism, but I only say all this to illustrate, like, the Broncos, you thought the last 7-8 years have been just yawn, you know, boring, painful at times, you know, apathetic, all that stuff. Get ready for more of that if you don't upgrade at quarterback. And with the resources the Broncos had, they couldn't do it in the free agency. Your only option is the draft. And it just so happens, Zach, that the Broncos are about due to go back to the well, do it the old-fashioned way, allow Sean Payton to handpick his guy. And being at number 12, you know, they're right within striking distance. It's kind of a weird year as far as the number of first-round projected quarterbacks, and then also, Zach, the number of quarterback-needy teams that are right there kind of clustered amongst the Broncos, whether it's before them or right after them. So it's going to be, because of that, Zach, no guarantee the Broncos get their guy. Although, I think as like the ultimate fallback failsafe, they're probably going to always have Bo Nix as an option at 12 if they feel like he's worth that pick.
You brought up pragmatism, and I think the most pragmatic thing the Broncos can do is draft a quarterback. And if that means by all means necessary, or, you know, by whoever it is, just get them, then so be it, because nothing is going to move the needle. They can take a corner or an edge or a tackle or whoever. It is not going to move the needle or help the franchise out in the long term like taking a quarterback would, and preferably hitting on that guy. And I'll tell you why I'm in the camp now of no matter what. Let's say you draft Bo Nix or Penix or whoever, and they don't pan out, God forbid, you're probably going to finish with a top five draft pick. You'll probably be in a better position to get a QB1 next offseason. So keep swinging until you get your guy. But you have to start sometime, Chad. And even if it's at pick 12, even if it is Bo Nix, you got to do it.
I wouldn't hate it. I've already told you guys, like, I would not lose sleep over Bo Nix at pick 12. Now, some of the guys at MHH, especially like the hardcore draft experts like Nick and Eric, if they hear me say that right now, like if they're listening, they're probably like, you know, choking on their dinner or whatever, because a lot of people don't think if he's a first rounder, he's like a fringe first rounder. He's like a Teddy Bridgewater first rounder. He's like a Drew Brees first rounder. Even though Drew was a second round pick, he was picked before the 0-2 expansion of the Texans, which it would have made him barely a first round pick if he had, you know, been in that same spot a couple years later, etc. I see it as, look, if you're the Broncos at pick 12 and the likes of Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, they're off the board already and nothing you could do to move up. There was nothing doing there. Do you really want to risk? Because I think, Zach, there is a drop-off after Nix. I do see a chasm between Nix and Michael Penix Jr. And then there's really everybody else. Like, people can, you know, pick nits with me on that as far as the Nix Penix thing. But to me, especially relative to fit with Sean Payton, you risk trade back, cool, you stockpile some picks. You're going to risk losing out on that dude, because there are going to be desperate teams that didn't get their guy in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm not one to clutch my pearls over where a player is drafted. There's been too many instances of quarterbacks like a Mitchell Trubisky, for example, that went too high. Plenty of instances where quarterbacks like a Brock Purdy or a Dak Prescott or even a Russell Wilson went too low. The point is, if you identify a guy who can play, and if he has it, then he has it. And even George Payton talked about that at the NFL's owners' meetings, Chad. He said him and Sean Payton both are in lockstep about wanting a quarterback that has it. Now, we can debate who that quarterback is, but if he thinks it's Bo Nix and Sean Payton's the opinion is the only one that matters, I don't care where they get him. If it's a 12 or if it's a 20, first round, second round, those are all imaginary, like arbitrary barriers we put on the scouting process, Chad. If you find a franchise guy, you found your franchise guy.
If Penix didn't have the injury jacket, where would you view him, Zach? Would he be worthy of it being in the convo to you at pick 12?
He would, and only because I'm almost no matter what at this point. But it's not just the injury jacket that worries me about Michael Penix. It's some of the processing. It's some of what Sean Payton looks for cerebrally from a quarterback. Athletically, there's a lot to like about Michael Penix. But to answer the question, I probably would put it in the same tier as Bo Nix, whereas if they can't get Bo Nix or they think Michael Penix could be the guy, just take him at 12 and get it over with.
Yeah. The Ronk jumping in. Love you, big dog. Appreciate seeing you in the chat tonight, every night. Big dog, seriously, thanks for everything you bring to our community here. David Youngkin jumping in. And by the way, Ronk, you've never been on the show, we formally invited you on for a superstar segment. That is an open standing invite. So anytime you want to come on, you just DM Zach or myself and we'll get it booked. This is the stretch of the calendar where we're able to do that stuff. We've got the Duchess coming up this month. Let's see. Let me remind myself. What was it? It's a week from today. In fact, Michaela is going to be kicking off our superstar segments. We'll be reaching out to others, but think about it, Ron. All right, David, bro, appreciate you. He says, hi, guys. I was talking about I'm tired of the drama, meaning I'm ready for the draft to be over, and hopefully we get our QB finally. Yeah, I feel you. You know, the lack of clarity, Zach, and the anticipation, which, you know, normally I'm actually kind of feeling you on this a lot more than maybe usual, David, because normally that lack of clarity, the uncertainties, Zach, the anticipation, I eat it up. I love it. And like following every little breadcrumb and possibility. Yep. But after 8 years of this stuff, you know, like, I mean, that's generally the offseason thing, but I mean, in terms of 8 years of quarterback instability, I'm also ready for it to be over. I'm ready for the Broncos to finally get their guy and let's move forward and start getting this franchise back to where it needs to be.
Damn you, Chad, get out of my head, because I was going to say the same thing. It's not just, you know, clarity from this offseason or the last couple of years. It's 8 years in the post-Peyton Manning era. And listen, we're all tired of being on the quarterback carousel. We thought that music was over when the Broncos got Russell Wilson. But truly, the only way off of it, the only way for the music to end, is if you draft a quarterback and hit on the franchise guy. God willing, the Broncos can do that later this month.
DTR jumping in with a super chat. Thank you, brother. Saying this team was held back in a big way by a QB who sold us a dream, but is past his prime, and a young QB who attacks the entire field changes the culture. Yeah, and you know that's true. Like Russ, if it wasn't a deep shot, it was a check down, right? Like you have one of the best slant running and curl running wide receivers in the NFL and Cortland Sutton, and you never throw it to him. Like never is an absolute, but you rarely throw it. I mean, Zach, it would have been great to see Russ hit that back foot and the ball's out. It just doesn't happen. He just doesn't do it. And I don't know if it's his height creating, like, you know, that slightly too much stuff in his vision, right? So he kind of needs to buy more time to get more space and then throw. I don't know, because I think he's smart enough to be an anticipation thrower. I don't think it's anything to do with football IQ or anything like that. I really do think it comes down to kind of his size. You know, we're talking about a sub 6 foot quarterback after all, Zach.
Yeah, you're right. If it wasn't a 50-50 prayer to Sutton, it was a check down. And if it wasn't a check down, it was a sack, like we talked about earlier. That was the three destinations for a Russell Wilson play on any given Sunday. So you're right with the comment. If they get more consistent play and just from down to down, staying on schedule and staying in structure in Peyton's offense, they'll be much more successful on a game-by-game basis.
Big Earn, it's always great to see you, my friend. Broncos country only. And yes, my dog. A quarterback very much needed in this draft. Okay. Also, DTR jumping in to say 6th most punts in the league last year. Yeah. You know, and Riley Dixon wasn't making the most of them either, for what it's worth. Riptide, what's going on, bro? Good to see you. Thank you for the super. He says, I'm dreaming of a Trey Lance trade up for Jaden Daniels. What do you think, Zach?
I don't want to come off like a hypocrite, Riptide. I would love the Broncos to be that aggressive, but if you're packaging multiple first-round picks and making a trade of that magnitude, I just don't know that Jaden Daniels is who Sean Payton would thrive with best compared to a Drake May or a McCarthy. A lot to like about Daniels' rushing ability. I just don't know that Payton wants Lamar Jackson 2.0. Daniels is a much better passer, I feel, coming out of college than Lamar was, but he's very slight. For a quarterback, he takes unnecessary hits a la Russell Wilson. And also that elbow, Chad. God, have you seen it? Scott and I talked about it. The picture that came out from his pro day, Jaden Daniels' elbow, it is jacked up to the supreme.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
I'll have to check that out.
Don't eat anything while you do it, though.
Really? That gnarly? Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
So for what it's worth, San Francisco traded. They were also at pick 12, all right? Traded. Well, they had pick 12. They traded pick 12. They traded three first round picks and a fourth round pick to move up and take Trey Lance. And here's the irony of it and why Broncos fans shouldn't overly agonize about the prospect of, you know, mortgaging the future, giving up the farm, selling the farm, whatever. You can sell the farm. You don't want to buy the farm. You know what I'm saying? And it's this. They gave up that, Zach did the Niners for Trey Lance. He was a complete bust for them, and they were still a competitively relevant team year in and year out with maybe one exception. I think there was the one year where they just were decimated by injuries, but that's what competent coaching does for you, and I think the Broncos do have that. And I think there's even an argument to be made that if you have the consistent stability, even of a lackluster, less than inspiring Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, Zach, but a quarterback that Sean Payton could count on to be where he's supposed to be, balls coming out when it's supposed to come out, et cetera. You would expect him to improve with reps as time goes on. Probably a good chance that, you know, eight wins matching what they did with Russ, thus kind of being in the conversation down the stretch. It's not completely outside the bounds of the possible. If you were to, you know, swing on a quarterback and miss, or he wasn't quite ready yet, but I don't care. That's all like way future beyond. I don't even really need to contemplate countenance that. First things first, go find a quarterback, unlike Trey Lance, a quarterback that's not so toolsy, raw in the rough, so to speak, lower level of competition. Find a guy that's ready. And some of the guys that Zach are like set to go, starting experience galore. I mean, one, JJ McCarthy, lot of experience, lot of big ball games, a lot on his plate. Also Bo Nix. He's the most experienced starting quarterback in this class.
The highest ceiling, I think, of the big, or at least among the quarterbacks the Broncos are in contention with, definitely higher than someone like Michael Penix, or on the highest floor, I should say. Some of you taking me seriously about Jaden Daniels' elbow, that's not a reason not to draft him. I just found it kind of horrific to look at.
But I'm going to Google it.
You have to, and you shouldn't at the same time. But it's also a little immaterial, I think, Chad, because Daniels, as far as I can understand, is going to go number two to Washington when it's all said and done, and the Broncos aren't trading up to number two.
Dude, I'm looking at this right now. What the heck is going on with that? All right, hold on. Hold on. I'm going to show you guys this in case you didn't know it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to see if there's maybe one better picture real fast.
Spoiler alert.
That's a weird angle. Let's see. That one, it doesn't look quite as gnarly. Hold on. Hold on. Now, did you say from his pro day?
Yeah, it's when he was throwing.
So he spoke of it. I'm trying to find images of it from his pro day. I can really find one that illustrates it quite well, and it's right here. So hang tight. I'm going to give you guys a little scratch and sniff. I'm going to blow up the picture, though, real fast to make sure everyone can see it okay. Stand by. And, of course, the page I'm trying to get to has a million pop-ups. Hold on. Okay, there it is. All right, here comes. I'm doing the share screen. This is wild, dude. So what's the explanation behind this? What did he say about it?
I don't know that he addressed it specifically, and people are saying in the comments it could be AI or photoshopped or whatever, but there was a doctor who said it's basically inflammation in the elbow, like a bursa sac or whatever he called it. I could be wrong, but it basically looks worse than it really is. It doesn't hinder his throwing motion or anything like that.
Well, look at this, okay? I'm going to take this same link and drop it in. I think there's that's not going to show me. Hold on one sec, guys. Image. Yeah, that was the best one, but hang tight one second. Almost there. Like right here. Okay. Let me see if this has the main image. No, it wants to be a video again. Dang it. Long story short, every other image, Zach, I see of this guy on, well, here, I'll just do the Google. I'll just show you guys what I'm seeing on Google. That's the best thing. Instead of trying to find an individual one. Okay. So here, I'm going to take Riptide off the screen. But so you see this one that's the biggest here on the right over here. You can see there's something a little weird on the elbow there. But like, look at this one, for example. I mean, it's a little bit bulbous, but it ain't this, Zach. It's not this, you know. What is that?
You sound like me, literally, Chad. I was screaming that to Scott the other night.
So look here's a different arm angle where he's kind of forward tossing it. And you can see, like, what did you say the doctor said? Bursa sac. Yeah, like irritated, inflamed, something like that. I could see it, but weird. And the fact that it's on his throwing arm, right? That's conspicuous. I wonder how much that may affect his draft stock. Gary Palmer, the legendary GLP. What's up, bro? He says, Chad and Zach, if someone falls beyond 6, we can move to 8. That shouldn't be too costly. What do you think, Zach?
It's definitely not as costly as moving to 3 or 4 or 2 or whatever. It's going to cost you a first round pick and then some, but you could keep PS2. You're more than likely going to get one of the big 4 or 5 quarterbacks that Peyton has his eye on. So yeah, if Drake May kind of plummets or McCarthy falls, I can definitely see move up to 8. But also, Chad, it takes 2 to tango. You'd have to, you know, convince Atlanta to trade out of that spot and sweeten the pot with whatever they're looking for.
True. It depends on how the board falls. And I've been saying this for a few weeks now, but even though all the mocks have it going 1, 2, 3 quarterback, and nowadays you're even seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 with various mock drafts featuring a trade up, the Cardinals moving off of 4, and then there's JJ McCarthy or what have you. It's unlikely, in my opinion, Zach, to shake out that way, because there's going to be a GM or two that's going to say, hey, while everyone's like desperate for these quarterbacks, that maybe we like one of them and they're off the board at 1, you know, we're going to zig while everyone else is trying to zag, and we're going to take the best, you know, defensive player in this class. We're going to go get a Von Miller while everyone's trying to chase, you know, Cam Newton in 2011, etc., which just pushes quarterbacks down the board. There are some great prospects in this class, both on the defensive side, Zach, and, you know, offensive tackles. I could see it happening to where, you know, a couple of the big 4 get pushed to this range he's talking about, you know. But the problem is you got the Cardinals at 4. They're actively signaling they want to trade back. Then the Chargers at 5, Zach, they don't need a quarterback. They're definitely going to be in the market for a trade back if it's the right offer. What is it, Giants 6? If memory serves, Titans 7, then you get to the Falcons 8. They're going to be open for business. So we'll see, man. And if I'm the Broncos, Zach, I'm trying to get clarity on this sooner than later, like well before draft day.
Basically, it boils down to you move up for Drake May or McCarthy if they start to slide. You do not move up for Bo Nix and let him fall into your lap at 12. So, again, we'll see on draft night, Chad, if they don't make a move before then. If a May or McCarthy starts to take a tumble, don't be surprised if Sean Payton starts making calls.
Indeed. Thank you again, GLP. You are the man. All right, let me check here. We're at 36 minutes. We're doing pretty good with time. I want to grab this from the Ronk. Bringing it up. Good point. He says, does Mike Throckmorton, the new offensive lineman the Broncos signed today, was teammates with center Alex Forsythe at Oregon for 3 years. So there you have it. There's a connection there too. So some synergy. I think, Zach, that's the early leader in the clubhouse to be the starting center for the Broncos moving forward. So you kind of have some built-in synergy, perhaps ready to go if you had to turn to Throckmorton for any purpose. Also, Danny, appreciate the stars, big dog. And yeah, we can't wait to see what happens in the draft either.
And guess who was also teammates with Forsythe at Oregon? That would be Mr. Bo Nix, who we've been discussing for weeks. So there could be something there.
Mike Edel jumping in with so far the most generous super chat of the evening. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, we love you, bro. Back to back nights. This is just your way. And we appreciate you. We really do, my friend. By the way, Mike, if you want to be on the show as a superstar segment, shoot us an email, milehighhuddle@gmail.com, and let's get it set up. We'd love to chat with you for 10 or 15 minutes and let the community chat with you as well. So hit us up. He says, good evening, Chad and Zach and Broncos Country. Did anyone catch Stink's podcast on quarterbacks? The gist I got from it, he would rather see the Broncos take the best player available at 12, not mortgage several first rounders. I haven't seen, I haven't checked it out myself, Zach. I'm guessing Zach has not either.
No.
But, you know, again, not just like I was almost going to say like former players, but that's not the best way to put it. Guys like him, he's like quintessential, a trench guy, Zach. Yeah, just give me the best player available, like the most pragmatic, fundamentally sound plan or strategy. But I err on what you said earlier. I'm in the camp that the most pragmatic thing is if one of the quarterbacks is there at 12, you'd be a fool not to take a quarterback. Like, your quarterback room right now is pitiful, dude. It's pitiful. So I don't agree with him, for what it's worth, Mike.
That's what I was going to say. I have not seen the podcast, and Stink is definitely entitled to his opinion. I know he's a very opinionated person, but I rarely find myself agreeing with him, Chad. I think he goes against the grain a little too much for me, and that's coming from me. I mean, again, he can have his take on the Broncos quarterback, but the best available player, I mean, the top four or five on the big board should be all quarterbacks for Denver.
Agreed. Let's grab this from Nick Hale. What's going on, Nick? Good to see you, big dog. He says, good evening, Chad and Zach. Just curious, do you guys know how many quarterbacks since Peyton Manning? Do the odds finally get us to land a consistent QB for the future? Like, how many starters? Off the top of my head, let's just have a little fun, okay?
Be here for a while. Simeon,
Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum,
Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler, thank you. Flacco. Who else that year of Osweiler? 2017?
That was Simeon. 2017 was Osweiler.
Osweiler, Simeon, wasn't there one? Oh, Lynch. It was Lynch.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Keenum, 18. 19, Joe Flacco. Brandon Allen, Drew Lock. All right, then we get to 20, Drew Lock. Oh, what was his name? The former, gave everybody COVID. Former Niners draft pick quarterback, Jeff Driscoll. Yeah, sorry, you said it. Brett Rippon. Russ.
Kendall Hinton.
Russ. Teddy. Kendall Hinton. Yeah, you can throw him in. Jarrett Stidham. Phillip, I want to say 13, unless I didn't do my math right. Does that sound right? Something like that. So, did the odds finally get us to land a consistent QB? Yo, bro, I think I'm going to rhyme with odds and say the football gods are pointing and screaming at the Broncos that it's time to go back to the well and do it the old fashioned way. And you finally have a coach. Like, I get it. Maybe a little bit more ambivalent, Zach, and maybe swing a little bit more toward listening to the Schlereths of the world that are saying, nah, just BPA. If it's Vic Fangio's your head coach and you're not sure the right development's going to be there for the quarterback, or Vance Joseph, but it's Sean Payton, dude. Get your quarterback.
Yeah, the odds are definitely, I think, pointing in the Broncos' favor. They just, at some point, it's the, what's the rule of, what am I thinking of, Chad?
Law of averages.
Law of averages. There you go. Thank you, partner. At some point, it has to work in the Broncos' favor. And that's why it's so crucial they avoid the free agent franchise quarterback temptation. You know, we're talking about Dak Prescott in 2025. No, in order for them to get their quarterback of the future, it's going to happen in the draft. And after failing with Lynch and Osweiler and Drew Lock and all these others that we talked about, it's got to be the Broncos' time soon. It just has to be.
By the way, Nick, the world's dying for some off and running music. All right. That's Nick's band. You got to get busy on tracking some music and getting it out there, my dog. By the way, Nick Hale does have music of his own that you can listen to on Spotify. Just search his name. You'll find it. It's awesome. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you, big dog. Let's see what John Paul C is curious about here. Welcome. And thank you, John Paul. If I'm not mistaken, Zach, that's a newer name on Super Chat. So welcome. My friend, he says, late round quarterbacks can be found. So trade down and get more picks. Yeah, you can find them. They're there every year. How many of them are viable? And let's define late round. To me, Zach, late round is fifth and past. Okay. So when you take Tom Brady out of that equation, who else? Who Purdy. Else can you hang your hat on?
Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Thank you. But again, another kind of unicorn, not so much because he's this freak of nature like Tom Brady turned out to be, but because he and I'm not trying to take anything away from him, props to him, but like he just landed in literally the most fortuitous possible spot that a Mr. Irrelevant possibly could, right? Again, exception to the rule, but not going to discount it. Who else? There isn't anybody, dude. You've got success stories in the modern NFL of third rounders. I mean, Russ, even Nick Foles, third rounder, fourth rounder, Dak, right? I'm probably missing some of the maybe more recent ones, but hitting on one of those guys, in other words, counting on one of those guys, John Paul, to be the guy, it's slim odds, bro. It's just slim odds. So I'm still first round or bust. You know, it's first round quarterback. And again, if the top four Zach are off the board, and you get to pick 12 and you're the Broncos and Bo Nix is there, just take Bo Nix because most experienced quarterback in the class. Does he have the same arm talent as the four guys in front of him from a arm strength perspective? No, but he throws with anticipation. He's uber athletic, and he would be, you talk about Sean Payton prioritizing, this is his words, the processor, right? The quick processor. Bo Nix, arguably number one in this class. Like there's an argument to be made. That's what I'm about, John Paul. And I don't begrudge you your opinion, but you can't take another chance on a late round. Hey, let's say you just get the best edge rusher that money can buy in this class at pick 12 and you didn't take a quarterback. Zach, how many wins does that get you? How many more wins does that buy you with Jarrett Stidham as your quarterback in 2024?
Not many. And I was going to say the same thing to JPC here. I mean, you seem like a newer member of the podcast. If so, welcome. And you'll quickly find out I love analogies. John Paul, I'll give you one right now. You can walk down the street and find a $100 bill on the ground. It's technically possible, but how often does that happen? Not very often. It's not very often you find your franchise guy, Brady or even a Brock Purdy, in the fifth, sixth, or seventh rounds like Chad was talking about. You have success historically, and data shows this, in the first round. You also have the fifth-year option that can keep the player under cheap cost control for a little longer if necessary. There's just more benefits than there are cons in terms of taking a QB on day one, and that's what the Broncos, in my opinion, Chad, have to do.
Well said, brother. Dave from Georgia. Good to see you, big dog, rocking his Buckham t-shirt like a boss. Love it. He says, howdy, Broncos country. Howdy, Priest. Right back at you, my friend. He says, let's say it gets to 12. Nix is on the board, but so is the edge guy from Bama. Who's the pick? I don't even think twice about that, dude. I really don't, because I'm worried if I trade back that, you know, the Raiders are going to take him. So I'm just taking him. I'm just taking Bo Nix right there. It's a gift horse. When a horse is gifted to you, you don't open up its mouth and examine its teeth to see is it healthy. It's a gift. Just take the gift. Accept what the football gods are offering you. And this, of course, I'm assuming, Dave, is that also in this scenario, McCarthy's gone. He's off the board.
It's probably unpopular what we're spouting off here, Chad, but if it's quarterback, it could be quarterback versus any other player, any other position, and I'm taking the quarterback because any team lives and dies by that player, and the Broncos will not find consistent success. They will not go back to the playoffs, and they will not be what they once were until they get that franchise quarterback.
Dave, so good to see you, though, bro. Reach out if you're in the mood to do a superstar segment this offseason with us, my friend. MileHighHuddle@gmail.com. Mike Edel's trying to clarify. He's saying on the Stink podcast, I don't think he was saying not to pick a quarterback. He had a lot of valid points about the top five. I took it as just don't take too big of a reach. So in other words, you're not drafting a quarterback there, Zach, just to draft a quarterback. Let's go back to our Bo Nix analogy. If Bo Nix is your 13th rated prospect on the board, for example, and what's his name? 12, the Alabama edge rusher that just got referenced by
Turner.
Yes. And he's your the 12th. You know, are you going to really split those hairs and take the edge rusher there when the next guy? Now, obviously, that's a very extreme example, but I get it. Not too big of a reach. I'm with you on that, Mike. It can't be too big of a reach. So in other words, like, what if Bo Nix is gone? Are you going to take, say, Penix at 12. Maybe that would be too big of a reach, but I'm telling you, if they did it, the Broncos took Penix there because the other five guys are gone. I'm still not tripping on it. You didn't have to trade anything future-wise. You got a young quarterback that's got some production and definitely has some talent. Let him work with Peyton and just let's hope to God you can get him on the field somewhere around week five.
Again, Mike, I'm sure he made great points and you're obviously entitled to agree. I mean, I slightly disagree. I don't think a trade back, if they're even 99% sure on one of the big five, I don't think a trade back is in the Broncos' best interest. I think in terms of roster building, it would be, but in terms of winning and long-term beyond 2024, you've got to take a chance on the quarterback. They've ducked this for too long, Chad.
Exactly. And it's just the nature of the NFL now, man. And Sean Payton's an offensive guy. I don't think we really need to overthink it too much. I think they're going to find a way, etc. But love you, Mike. Don't forget, superstar segment, reach out. The Lady D. We need to get the Lady D on for a superstar segment. We would love to do that. If you want to join the show at some point this month, May, we'll do them in June as well. And then in July, we kind of get geared back into training camp's going to start and all that stuff. But let us know, Lady D. And thank you so much for the very generous super chat tonight. Definitely now on the Monday evening leaderboard. I don't know. Just so grateful for you. She says, we do need a quarterback. Sorry, I'm late. Love you guys. MHH for life. Yeah, we do. Water's wet. Sky's blue. We love the Lady D, and the Broncos need a Q.
I love that, Chad. It's definitely true. Thank you so much, Deanna. Your support is beyond anything we can describe. We say it each and every podcast. We come off like a broken record, but Chad and I talk offline how grateful we are for you, for everybody else. And you're right. They do need a quarterback, and that's why hashtag Chad. It's not, you know, let him hate anymore. For my, it's hashtag no matter what.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you, Deanna. Tom jumping in. Good to see you, big dog. Hope you're doing well. He says, what's up, guys? I think our first round pick is more valuable than other teams that are trying to trade up. We have major holes picking top three next year. I agree. You are looking at a top five pick in 2025 if you don't upgrade quarterback in a big, bad way. And, you know, some of the people that are a little bit more patient, like I don't know this, but like, let's take Nick, for example, Nick Kendall, you know, he's a very patient type of person. He's probably going long-term, one more year of short-term pain for like ultimate long-term benefit. You know, I'm not hating that. If we took a pick, or we took BPA or whatever, we don't take a quarterback because it's just not the right guy or whatever at 12 and we add to the roster throughout the draft, et cetera. Yeah, we're probably going to, you know, finish in the top, you know, 10 of the draft, top five, possibly, as I said, but then you're really going to be in position to get the guy. There's an argument to be made for that, Zach. Yeah. I think I could get a lot more on board. And by the way, I'm not saying that's what Nick is advocating, by the way. So I'm definitely not trying to speak for the man. I'm just saying that kind of mentality, short-term pain for long-term gain, you know, that's a viable part of life. Like, you really need to include that in your calculus depending on the situation. Like, sometimes you do got to suffer for a short little period of time in order to have big longer term benefits. But Zach, on the heels of 8 years of utter pain and humiliation to a point now where it's, I mean, we see it all the social media channels that we manage, apathy. I just don't know that you can really afford to do that one more year. I don't know.
I am 1,000% with you. I have been for quite a while. There's only two teams, Chad, that are looking to trade up, at least in the top 12. That would be the Broncos and the Vikings, who are picking at 11. So it boils down to, with the team they're trading up with, what that team would want in return. The Vikings, Chad, can offer a first-round pick this year because they have two. The Broncos can offer probably a higher first-round pick in 2025. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. People are talking about, oh, whoever the Vikings want, the Broncos have no chance. That's not true. They are appealing in their own right, and if Sean Payton wants someone, Sean Payton will get that someone.
Definitely. And Tom's saying, by the way, when he says our first-round pick is more valuable than other teams trying to trade up, he's talking about next year's first-round pick, Zach. So I don't know how much that changes the calculus for you. Here's what he's saying, right? There's his first super, all right? And then he's talking about next year's.
It all boils down to, again, the team the Broncos are trading with. Do they want instant gratification now, a la two first-round picks in 2024, or would they be patient? We're talking about patience. Would they be patient and want a higher pick in 2025? Both are equally attractive.
Appreciate you, Tom, and thank you for clarifying, my dog. Riptide, I'm gonna quote the butt rock poet. Much love to James Hetfield, Papa Het, as he's known. Riptide says, QB, 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 and nothing else matters, right? Nothing. Metallica, let's go. But I'm with you on that, dude. I mean, there is a limit. There is a rational limit here, right? Like, you don't want to go, oh, they're all gone at 12. And so, and this is not going to happen, by the way. You're not going to have five quarterbacks gone by pick 12. I mean, has that ever happened in the draft? Five by pick 12? I'm going to look it up, but that's got to be the number one priority. And Zach, if there's a trade to be had, if that's what you're doing, looking to move up, get it done sooner than later.
Yeah. And, you know, there's obviously a bridge too far. I mean, everyone can disagree on what theirs is. Mine would be like three firsts and Patrick Surtain, or trading up or taking someone like Spencer Rattler at 12. But beyond those extreme scenarios, anything else goes, because Riptide, you're right. Nothing else matters until the Broncos get that cue.
All right. So just for craps and giggles here, I'm reading an article from the Sporting News. Most QBs drafted in the top 10. This was last year. Okay. So this was ahead of the 2023 draft. Let me see. Which NFL draft had the most QBs selected in the first round? There have been two drafts with four quarterbacks selected in the top 10, and they occurred nearly 70 years apart. That was 1949 and 2018. So 2018, who were those quarterbacks? Remember the Hall of Fame quarterback class? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. That's the top 10 quarterbacks. And then you had one more taken in the first round, Lamar. So you had five quarterbacks, Zach, in what was viewed then as like, this is like the 83 class of quarterbacks all over again. And outside of Darnold and Rosen, like, you look at Mayfield, got a little shaky for him, but now he's back, led a team to the playoffs. You can't call him a bust. Josh Allen is obviously the furthest possible thing from a bust, and Lamar. So three of those five quarterbacks, the early returns since they were drafted, say, hey, that was a productive quarterback class for the NFL. What are the odds that four quarterbacks go in this year's draft? You know, this goes to show you, Zach, how rare it actually is, right? It does not happen often. And when it does, it has to be like the perfect confluence of the players have to be that good, the prospects have to be that good, and the demand, just the overall need at quarterback around the NFL is that high. So are we of the opinion those two things, those two factors are meeting here in 2024?
I was going to say, you know, non-hypothetically, why do you think those five quarterbacks went in 2018 in the first round? Because there's teams are always looking for that franchise cue. Look what the Buffalo Bills did, taking a chance on Josh Allen, what the Broncos did it by taking Bradley Chubb. There's always that demand, and the supply is usually shorter. That's why in a top heavy class as this one is, Chad, so the Broncos gotta just dip their toe in the water and take a chance.
So I'm just looking for craps and giggles. I'm reminding myself of this. If you were to just ask me, I could probably have, if I give it some thought, just spit this out. But 1983 quarterback class that featured your boy John Elway included also, as far as quarterbacks, Todd Blackledge. He was the second highest drafted quarterback, going number 7 overall to the Chiefs, basically a bust. Then you had Jim Kelly going 14 to the Bills, Hall of Famer, right? Then you have obviously Marino, but I thought there was one more. Marino goes 27th to the Dolphins, but there was. Yeah, Ken O'Brien, duh. Ken O'Brien. I probably would have forgotten about Ken O'Brien. But that was a four quarterback in the first round class, etc. Jordan, hey, dude, welcome. Thank you. Appreciate the super chat. We're about out of time, guys. We've got Jordan. We've got Damian Clark Warren. And I'm just double checking on Facebook. We got to keep an eye out for Lawrence. Lawrence Rivera threw down some stars. And then we got to go here. So let's take care of Jordan. He says, Broncos can't lose to Russ. Do you agree that Steelers game is a must win if Wilson's starting? Could you imagine if he came off the bench to lead them to a win? I mean, Peyton can't lose that match. Yeah, not only is it, you know, the revenge game, Zach, Russ, Broncos, but it's in Denver. And the only thing that gives me, like, the little bit of, like, chill up my neck when I think about it is, because I go, no, there's no way Sean Payton, after, especially after what he said, is he losing to Nathaniel Hackett at home. Had to totally eat those words. It also happened to be, Zach, one of Russ's worst games as a Bronco. And if you guys remember, it was that gut reaction podcast where I told you guys I'm officially off the Russ train. Like, no longer do I believe there's any hope to be had for him being the, you know, a future, A, the solution now, and B, the solution in the short-term future. I was off that. But it still happened, Zach. Sean Payton did lose a crucial revenge game. Is it must win? It depends on if the Broncos are relevant in the playoffs, because I think the Steelers will be one of those fringe playoff teams. If they are, then it's absolutely a must win. Outside of that, I mean, I would love for them to win that game. Is it a must win? I don't know.
It also depends when the game is. If it's week two or week three, it's probably not a must win. But if it's week 17 or week 18, then yeah, it's a must win. And that's what I was going to say, Chad. You asked me a year ago or whatever, I would have said no freaking way. Are the Broncos and Sean Payton losing to Nathaniel Hackett without Aaron Rodgers, by the way, at home? And sure enough, look what happened. They lost to Nathaniel Hackett without Aaron Rodgers at home. So I wouldn't be shocked. The Steelers take away Russ are a very well-coached team under Mike Tomlin. Very good defense. That could pose a problem for a rookie quarterback. But whether it's a must-win, ask us again when the schedule release comes out.
Not only that, guys, but it was a beatdown. I got to remind you that the Broncos in that game, they finished with 21 points against the Jets, but they had 13 points total going into the late stage of the fourth quarter, where they scored a touchdown and got a 2-point conversion, ended up losing 31-21. The Jets won that game handily. It wasn't even freaking close. The Jets. All right, Jordan, love you, big dog. Thank you. Damian jumping in, and I was waiting for someone to bring up Joe Montana. The only reason I didn't bring up Joe Montana when we were talking late round quarterbacks before is I qualified at fifth round and later. But Damian, I appreciate you jumping in. Thank you, big dog, for the generous super. He says, Joe Montana was a fourth round pick, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. If we can't protect him, we still have gaping holes on the offensive line. Defense is now
porous,
too many holes to fill. Okay. So I disagree with you that the offensive line is that gaping. You know, I'm not worried about that as much. I mean, I'm not saying it's perfectly ideal, Damian, but it looks like for now anyway. I mean, the draft could change what I'm about to say, but I doubt it's going to happen. You got Garrett Bowles coming back for his contract year. You got McGlinchey in year two in the scheme. You got Powers in year two in the scheme. You've got Quinn Miners looking to make a new paycheck. Coming off a Pro Bowl, he was snubbed for the Pro Bowl, straight snubbed for the All-Pro, and now he wants to get that dollar bill paycheck. He's going to get it. The only question mark to me, I mean, yeah, we can sit and like agonize over McGlinchey's pass blocking, Zach, but I think his history shows that you allow him to kind of settle in more to things. I think he's going to bounce back. And is it going to be a strong suit ever? Probably not. But he's not going to be as big of a problem for you at right tackle pass pro-wise as he was last year. And he certainly makes up for a good chunk of it with how good of a run-blocking tackle he is. Center is the question mark. We don't know what to expect there. We don't have an incumbent to hang our hat on. And the only candidates right now, Zach, are guys who have never started at center in the NFL. So, but still, I don't think that is overarching enough to like cancel out. Oh, so, you know, let's not take a quarterback because, you know, we have all these holes to fill. There are holes on this team. Don't get me wrong. Most of them, in my opinion, are on defense and then depth wise on offense.
Yeah, you know what's going to help out McGlinchey's pass pro as well is blocking for a quarterback that doesn't hold the ball too long or scramble directly to his side horizontally and not stepping up in the pocket vertically. I'm not concerned about Mike McGlinchey. I'm not even that concerned about center. Cushenberry had one good season, but it was a contract year, Chad, and it was also under the tutelage of the Broncos' new coaching staff. So my logic is if they can turn him into a good player, why can't they turn Forsyth or Wattenberg into a good player? And if they have them and they're confident in them, their offensive line is good. I mean, we're talking about right now four out of the five being solid. In years past, there might have been maybe two that were solid heading into a season. So they're in decent shape, I think.
And for what it's worth, I mean, I would take some encouragement in this. Some of the best centers in Bronco canon are late round guys, from Tommy Nalen to Matt Paradis, a sixth round pick, to I'm trying to think back some of the guys in between. What was J.D. Walton? I think he was a fourth round pick. Not that he was that good. You know, they went through a stretch there with Peyton where they were using mercenary centers. Manny Ramirez, you know, he's always going to have a bad rap because of that snap in Super Bowl 48, you know. But the point is, you know, most centers in the NFL, it's not like quarterback where you go around and look at the studs at quarterback, with very few exceptions, first rounder. Centers, you know, you can find quality guys later. And the Broncos have two guys they've drafted later in the recent drafts in Forsyth and Wattenberg. So we'll see. Tom jumping in one last time, guys, and then we got to get out of here. Says, and thank you, Tom. I honestly can see J.J. McCarthy getting drafted top three and Jaden Daniels or even Drake May drop. And that's when we make our move up. I'll feel better about the trade up then. You know, I'll just take this opportunity to remind everybody, you know, Jim Harbaugh said, not only is JJ the best quarterback in this class, but when it's all said and done, he'll be the first quarterback drafted. It's a bold prediction, Zach, but if there's anyone with the insight and inside kind of baseball scoop to be able to make that call or take that shot, it is Harbaugh. We'll see.
That would be the ultimate shocker if that was the case. But I think it's a smokescreen. Again, it could be wrong. It's lying season. The McCarthy to two hype, the McCarthy to Washington speculation. I think when all said and done, Tom, that pick will be Jaden Daniels. And who knows where McCarthy goes? Could be three, could be four, could be wherever. But I don't think Jaden's moving out of the top three. But we'll see.
I'm trying to find in the stream here, in the chat, where Lawrence jumped in. And we've had a very busy conversation this evening, so I'm having a hard time finding him. Hang tight, guys. I'll just grab this one. This is the first one I saw where he says, Trevor was the best we've had. Like, I guess, you know, if you're talking about quarterbacks post-Peyton, there's an argument to be made, actually, from a win-loss perspective, that Trevor Siemian was the best quarterback the Broncos have had post-Peyton.
And even with Peyton, we saw what Trevor Siemian can do in New Orleans on a fill-in basis, and he wasn't half bad. Trevor Siemian still cashing paychecks in the NFL. And also, Chad, he had one dope Skittles jacket in 2016, if you remember. That thing is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going back to the – hold on. Let's see. I think he was – well, someone can Google it. We're out of time, but
– we got
– oh, yeah. Andy. Yo.
Wow.
Top rope number Thank you. Two by the Lady D. Hats off, my sunburned dome to you. It's still like I'm the dandruff king right now. I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but like I went to where we vacationed, Pacific Ocean, you know, beach. I'm like, I'm in the office on my keyboard too much. I'm just gonna let sunscreen. Nah, I need it. Like burn me. Like let's go. It was a gross miscalculation. I got straight burned, like burn victim style. You know what I'm saying? So a little coconut oil and, you know, it'll get back to normal here pretty soon. My cue ball look, fret not. Lady D, love you. She says, could they look the Broncos to the XFL for a center or guys to fill holes on the cheap? MHH for life. Thank you again, Lady D. Zach, what's your answer for?
Thank you so much, Deanna. Like I said earlier, I sound like a broken record, but it's so humbly appreciated. I don't know that they're going to look to the UFL now, Chad? They combine the XFL and the USFL. So I don't know if they're going to do anything imminently. I think the season just got underway, and obviously we have the draft coming up. Maybe after the draft, like with mini camps and during that period, they'll look to that league. But for now, I think they're focused on the draft.
Yeah, honestly, like, it would surprise me, unless it was just like the perfect storm of the, they just had this center like really highly graded, and they're sitting there in the third round or something, and they had a late first or early second round grade on a center, and he's there, they take him. Unless it's something like that, I expect them to kind of go forward with Alex Forsythe and Wattenberg, because Sean Payton, when they drafted Forsythe, talked about him as a guy that he viewed as a future starter. Well, future's now, baby. Cushenberry's gone, and so you could probably use those picks on other positions. I mean, we'll see.
And they could also pick up a veteran center during the summer, like before training camp, after training camp, if they want some more experience in the room, Deanna. Maybe they do look to the XFL, but I think for now, Chad's right, they're going to lean on Forsythe and Wattenberg and maybe take a swing in the draft.
Seriously, so grateful for each and every one of you spending time with us tonight, all the superstars and supporters. We got a couple messages for you, then we're dipping out, though.
Tremendous installment of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and don't forget about our producer, Scott, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch, like we're rocking each and every podcast, check out mhhmerch.com. Get you some. Please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
Amen to that. Bye, Gabe. Don't take your ball and go home. We're going to be playing ball tomorrow, you know. Mile High salute and a special shout out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters helping us keep the lights on tonight. Lady D, Michaela, the Duchess. We got Damian Clark Warren, Tom Lockhoff, Rip Dye. We've got Mike Edel, Dave from Georgia, John Paul C. We've got Danny Powers. We got the GLP, Gary Palmer, DTR, David Youngkin. We've got the Ronk. We got Taylor Christensen, Sam Bam, and the Papa Bear, David McElrath, Lawrence Rivera as well, in case I didn't mention him. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Zach and I are off until Thursday, but we'll look forward to talking to you guys then. And don't forget, plenty of content rolling on the podcast side from MHH between now and then. So don't miss Building the Broncos tomorrow. Don't miss Mile High Insiders Wednesday night.
Have a great start to your week. A great start to your April. We'll see you Thursday night. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Plenty of content rolling on the podcast side from MHH between now and then. So don't miss Building the Broncos tomorrow. Don't miss Mile High Insiders Wednesday night.
Have a great start to your week. A great start to your April. We'll see you Thursday night. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.